everyone. Welcome to Trust the Trail. We are your outdoor guides, Ariane Petrucci
and Scott Jans.
This is episode 79, The Great Debate, Hammocks versus Tents.
We are now on Patreon.com. If you would like to support Trust the Trail podcast, please check out our Patreon.com/Trust the Trail page. We would love for you to be a part of our outdoor backpacking community. Plus, you receive our podcast early before it hits the world. Another way to support us is by listening to Trust the Trail on the Radio Public app for both iOS and Android. So download it today and Trust the Trail. Add Trust the Trail to your music library.
On this episode, we put an end to the debate on which sleep system is better, hammocks versus tents. We share what we've learned throughout years of backpacking and give to you three important pro tips at the end to help you stay a bit warmer. Additionally, we will provide a case study showing which sleep system is more cost-effective during a 32-degree night out on the trail. By the way, you can join us in our discussion on the Facebook group page. Just go to facebook.com/groups/Trust the Trail podcast and join our outdoor podcast family. Come hang out with us and be part of our community. We would love to have you.
So speaking of our Trust the Trail podcast community, Brian Metzger gave us a few suggestions on what kind of podcast that we should do. Now, we already did a podcast, episode 5.
Long time ago.
Seemed like forever ago. But we thought we would delve back in to see if we could maybe shake this debate up a little bit and really get down to the nitty-gritty on hammocks versus tents. And so we did. So, Brian, thank you for that suggestion. This podcast is dedicated to you. We have a feeling that you have you're trying to make that choice. Yeah. So we're definitely going to kind of delve into that. Absolutely.
You know, I would say, you know, both Scott and myself, prior to meeting and while, you know, even after we met, we have both been, you know, riding that line and going back and forth between hammocks versus tents. And we've done a lot of both. So we both have an extreme amount of, I would say, you know, hands-on experience.
Yeah, and really crappy conditions too.
Very crappy conditions. And also really good idealistic conditions as well. So we're going to break this down into, you know, several different categories to kind of talk a little bit more about, are they comparable? Is there a better option out there? And pretty much letting you decide what fits within your own lifestyle based off of how you enjoy camping and kind of where you want to take your backpacking experience as well. So we're going to talk about size and compactability, weight, cost, convenience, or the limitations of each, specifically in regard to setup, I think is important. We're going to discuss comfort, and then we're going to add in pro tips at the end. So, you know, don't go anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did this on a case study. So, you know, how do you compare the two? So our comparison starts at, you're going to go backpacking. It's going to be in the fall. You may be in high elevation, but the temperature for sure is going to be 32 degrees at night. That's where we started the comparison at. And that seems to be the area where most people need the most information. Like, anybody can do this when it's warm, but when it starts getting colder, your gear changes, you know, the elements around you change. You have wind, you have elevation, you have snow, non-snow. There's a lot of variables.
Yeah.
And that's usually kind of like the sweet spot where people start going, oh, I was really cold. You know, it's too hot. I have, you know, tons of condensation in my tent. And so that's the scenario. 32 degrees at night. And that's how we start comparing hammocks versus tents. The other thing, too, is that, You know, when you're choosing a hammock or tent or any sleep system, really, it's still, you still have to ask yourself those three questions. Where are you going? How long are you going to be there? And is weight important to you? So
I feel like this is a t-shirt.
It should be a t-shirt.
The three questions of backpacking.
The three questions of backpacking. Because, you know, I mean, it all changes. You know, one may work great in one area, one may not work great in another area.
It's so true.
So if you can ask yourself, okay, where am I going? How long am I going to be there? Am I going for the weekend? You know, am I doing a long distance trek? What are the conditions? And weight is emphatically important to me. So that's where we started. Those three questions.
So I think really what we want to make sure we're talking about is, like, it boils down first and foremost to the insulation factor. Because there's so many pros and cons and there's so many setup values. But let's first talk about at the 32 degree mark, at this case study, insulation is going to make or break the difference.
Yeah. So we'll talk hammocks first. Okay. Insulation is the key, and it's a different kind of insulation. It's not the insulation where you think when you're in a tent and you're, you know, you're going to get your down sleeping bag or your insulated mattress pad. It's a whole different level of insulation, because the rule of thumb with hammocks is that you're going to be colder. You're going to be colder because you're up off the ground. Dead air gets underneath you and gets trapped between your hammock and the ground. And so by nature, that dead air is going to make you colder. So you have a lot more exposure, because, you know, even though nylon is a great wind protector, you're still, you know, your body is right next to the nylon. And so you're just going to be colder. That's just the name of the game with hammocks. So insulation is going to be the key here. So, you know, what kind of gear are you going to need? What are you going to need to stay warmer at 32 degrees in a hammock versus a tent? Well, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to invest in an underquilt, whether that's an underquilt, a total quilt, whether that's going to wrap around like a cocoon quilt, that's going to wrap around the sleeping bag. And they make all kinds of different quilts for those. So you've got like a 30, you've got a 20. They're all made out of duck down. They're all down quilts. Some of them you can use as sleeping bags also, but this is really going to be the insulator. You're going to actually wrap yourself cocoon style, really, when you are in a hammock. The other thing that's going to be important is your pad. What kind of pad are you sleeping on? And for most beginners, if you decide you're going to use a hammock first, most people have sleeping pads already. So it's going to be a little bit of trial and error when you first get started with the hammock stuff. So you're going to need a sleeping pad. And so I know for me, like, I'm a side sleeper. I mean, I toss and turn all night, whether I'm in a hammock or whether I'm in a tent.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just like you're doing somersaults in your sleep or something.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have an underquilt. You're going to have to learn how to hang the underquilt, attach it. They have a lot of different hammocks out there that that already have hookups for underquilt. Some of them don't. So that's the first thing. But it's imperative you're going to have an underquilt for your hammock at that temperature. You're just going to have to. You're definitely going to want a asymmetrical hammock. Now, it's kind of weird the way hammocks are made, because they are asymmetrical. Those are the best, but you sleep sideways in the hammock. And so you sleep sideways because the asymmetrical then fits your body. And so that's just the way it is. Those are the best kind of hammocks to get. But they're all asymmetrical, or the good ones are asymmetrical.
Well, anyway. I mean, it makes a huge difference in spreading out the fabric and making it less of a wrapping you in a tortilla style versus, you know, making it suitable for sleep conditions and offering you a little bit more space to be able to move and adjust. And sleeping diagonally or at an angle in a hammock really does impact a good night's sleep versus a bad sleep.
Absolutely. The other thing you're going to need also is you're going to need a tarp. You're going to have a rain fly or tarp that goes over your hammock. Usually the best ones I see, the bigger the better, the 10 by 12 rain tarps are usually the best, because if it's pouring rain, you can actually pitch your tarp first, set up your hammock underneath it, and you have a place for your gear also. But those are the three main things. You're going to have the hammock, but you're going to have a down under quilt, over quilt, or cocoon down bag that goes completely wraps around your hammock. You're going to, of course, need your rain fly. The bigger, the better in this case. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the foam pad and what you're sleeping on in our pro tip to try to keep you warmer if you choose a hammock. But you're going to need that too. And Ariane's going to share a pro tip on how to kind of stay on your sleeping pad. because one of the things that I know I have had trouble with in the past, hammocks, is that you put your sleeping pad on there, you start rolling around, your sleeping pad all of a sudden is on top of you.
Each and every time.
It shoots out the side, or, you know, you're like, and it's a pain. And so
it happens so much when you're beginning.
You've got a mattress pad that's slippery, and then your sleeping bag is slippery. Your sleeping bag is still highly important. And, you know, again, you know, are you a cold sleeper? Are you a warm sleeper? The underquilt, though, is really going to maximize your sleeping bag. So if you have a 20 degree sleeping bag and you're in a hammock, you're going to need a 30 degree quilt, underquilt, if that temperature gets to 32 degrees. You're going to be so thankful, because your sleeping bag is just not going to cut it. And here's why. When you are sleeping in a hammock with your sleeping bag, if it's a down sleeping bag, you are sleeping, and the compression of that down on the bag in your hammock almost makes the down completely irrelevant.
Which is why
you need the underquilt.
Correct. 100%, especially for this case study and the fact that we are talking about 32 degree. I mean, some people sleep colder, so naturally you're going to add that to even a 50 degree night. But, you know, this is why a lot of people opt to reduce the weight and not take a sleeping bag, but instead purchase a top quilt only, because it's not necessary to have, you know, that down underneath you. So really, you reduce the amount of weight that you're packing in by purchasing a top quilt or over quilt versus an entire sleeping bag. And again, this is where the differences in cost really do come in drastically, and weight in particular, is summer versus winter. Now, for this scenario, we're talking about winter because, like you said, Scott, anybody can do this in the summer months and you're fine. You really aren't talking about a lot of weight. It's easy. It's just everything is so much more simple. The factor is when you get into fall, when you get into winter, when you get into those chillier evenings, that's when you add your cost, you add your weight, you add versus hammocks and tents. It's really no difference. I would say a tent is relatively one across the board, like cost and weight. You're still packing in the same. But the cost differentiation and the weight really does play a key role with hammocks.
Absolutely. It's definitely a system, and it's a system that you have to practice. Absolutely, for sure.
So big pros about hammocks in general is, well, besides everybody loves them, for their ease of use. I mean, generally speaking, they're easy to use. They're fun. The setup is easy. Everything about it. It's a relatively faster setup. Once practice makes perfect. I initially had a harder time learning to set up a hammock properly. You know, the proper, you know, height on the tree to get it where that suspension, you know, with your suspension set up where it's like ideal and it's perfect. You know, you want that particular angle just right for your head. You know, there's a lot of different things that go into the setup that initially I think are a little bit more challenging to work through, and it will take a longer time. But once you figure out what it is that you enjoy, the setup is relatively faster, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I remember setting up my Hennessy, one of the first Hennessy hammocks. This is when they only had two hammocks available. A
long time ago.
And you got in from the bottom of the hammock.
Yeah.
You know, like you're giving birth to yourself when you got out in the morning time, you know, and your feet would like dangle out of the hammock, and you literally would give birth to yourself. And I remember watching that video of how to tie the knot, and I mean, it's like I had to watch it every time I went backpacking before I left, so I could remember. So in that case,
not so quick.
No, I mean, it's like it takes practice because, you know, of course, now with Eno and stuff like that, it's a lot easier. It's a Carabiner, boom, you're done. But still,
it does take
practice in the initial setup for sure.
So that's the difference between your weight. So your suspension options are, they can range in weight dramatically. You can get a very, I would say, more challenging to learn setup, and that is going to reduce your weight trifold. But then if you want to take an Eno setup, you're definitely adding an extreme amount of weight just for the ease of use and carabiner. So there's a big difference there. Again, your three questions. Yep. Is weight important to you is going to be a key role in that. And then you add in bug nets. A lot of people don't like the creepy crawlers. You know, you throw that in, you add bug net to it. You're adding more, less compactability and more weight and cost to that purchase. But one of the, you know, biggest, I would say, one of the biggest things, you have multi-pitch options with your rain fly. So whereas in a tent, your rain fly, you know, it...
over your tent.
It goes over your tent, and it is conformed to, you know, the size variations of your tent. And it's very easy. It's done for you. It's like you can set it up blind. But with a hammock setup, you do have a lot more freedom in, you know, how are you going to pitch that? Are you going to be able to, you know, adjust it according to the wind to keep the wind?
That's
if the
right.
wind is coming in at a particular angle, you know, you can maneuver that setup however you want to make it user-friendly to you.
You can pitch it high, pitch it low.
You can do whatever you want.
You got a lot of different pitching options with a hammock setup as far as your rain fly goes.
And then, again, not one size fits all. You can get a bigger rain fly to offer yourself more protection if you're going out in a lot of winter months. You know, you're expecting a lot of snowfall. You're expecting... you know, a lot of rain. You can actually, you don't have to purchase the appropriate size for that hammock size. You can extend the size of it and make it a bigger tarp setup so that, well, I should say rain fly setup, so that you can accommodate your needs and your desires. Number one, probably pro, I would say, for hammocks are, You can gain consistency in your sleep pattern. So there's no more, there is sliding off the pad, but not with the pro tip that we are going to offer you. But regardless of the terrain in which you experience, if you can set up with trees, you are going to keep and maintain consistency in how you sleep. So with a tent, you may have a slope. You may have a little bit rockier terrain. It may not be as, you know, absorbent as you enjoy, whatever. With a hammock, you maintain that regular, you know.
Yeah.
You're established. You sleep the same way every single night in a hammock than you do in a tent.
I fell out and of that's the hammock one
the
time
number
sleeping.
One love.
I fell right out of it.
I believe that.
I fell right out of it.
I so believe that. What happened?
I don't know. I turned and I'm a terrible sleeper.
Terrible.
And so I don't know what happened. I turned, I rolled over, and I thought I had a little bit more room. And
not so much.
And I inverted the hammock. Good thing there was a bug net on there. I would have fallen right on the ground probably. But yeah, it is more comfortable.
It is a lot. I would say it's a lot. Hands down, it is a lot more comfortable.
Well, if you're not cold. It's not comfortable if you are cold in a hammock.
That's true.
You know, it's not comfortable in a tent either, but for the most part, and we'll talk a little bit about that as far as what we've experienced in hammocks. But you know, people swear by the good night's sleep they get in a hammock.
And a lot of people with claustrophobia don't necessarily enjoy it. You know, so that's something you might want to take into consideration. Scott definitely has some claustrophobia issues from time to time, so I think that's probably why he fell out of it. He purposely rolled out to get out.
Yeah, in the winter time, like, you know, with the, you know, with the underquilt, the cocoon type style down over the bag, I really do feel like I'm hibernating for the winter, and I'm not getting out anytime soon. That's my personal issue. I like to spread out when I sleep a little bit. So, you know.
So another big huge pro is what a lot of people really enjoy about the hammock setup in general is that there's less condensation that forms, almost minimal condensation that forms with your setup because you have airflow. You have a lot more airflow coming through it with your rainfly. You still have air moving and, you know, moving through it, whereas in a tent you are a lot more stagnant. You have less airflow and therefore your condensation is building inside. Also, it's a little bit easier to break down your gear because you don't have to wait for it to dry out necessarily. It dries out faster because you don't have the drying time that you would. Hands down, it's probably easier to maintain with cleanliness because you're elevated up off the ground. You're bringing in less dirt and debris into it, which a lot of people do. They don't like. They don't like bringing in the sticks and the leaves and the dirts, which right. I'm like, bring it on in. Let's snuggle on into the little bugs. So, you know, those are the main pros. Your disadvantages are, let's face it, if you're above tree line, or if you're on a sandy beach, you know, if you're in the desert with very minimal, you know, tree coverage, you know, I would say some deserts do offer some form of ability to be able to do it. But for the most part, desert camping, they're useless. They're not an option.
You would be hard pressed to pitch a hammock in the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
Absolutely.
Very rocky, very little trees down there, and very little uniform trees that would be conducive to even hang a hammock. So, you know, that's one place where you would think, oh, well, you know, I'm going to be down there. I'll have lots of options. Really, one person did bring a hammock, and they had a hard time pitching it.
A very hard time.
So it wasn't just readily available. They had to go off camp area to pitch it, which is a big no-no in the Grand Canyon, by the way. So it's
very unaccommodating for certain terrains,
but that's all part of the question, like know where you're gonna go.
Yep.
You know, that's why doing your research, you know, before you set out is so important. What's the terrain gonna be? Where, you know, where am I gonna be? What's the, you know, geographical area of where I'm gonna be backpacking in? And so that's super important as far as what gear you're going to bring.
Absolutely. And I think that, like, specific to this scenario with winter setup, initially it takes a huge disadvantage up front, but not long term, is that it initially takes so much more practice at setting up properly your underquilt to get that right balance between, you know, getting close enough to the bottom of your hammock with your weight inside of it, with enough airflow to be able to have that underquilt do the job that it needs to do. And let's face it, you are going to be cold for an entire season. Your learning curve is going to be, you know, a lot more uncomfortable, I would say, because you're constantly adjusting and adapting to weight and pressures and where your body lies in the hammock and how that underquilt plays in having you stay warm. The underquilt is an entire science to your body weight distribution. And to get that right takes a lot of practice. Once you get it, hands down, it's a lot easier. Of course, you are exposed to more, colder air, the dead air, the airflow, regardless of, you know, how you pitch your rain fly. And so you are probably going to add layers on overnight to be able to, you know, cover your face for wind exposure, air exposure, which you don't have in a tent.
Yep, absolutely.
And I would say those are your basic pros and disadvantages of hammocks in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, tents.
Tents. Tried and true, man.
Tried and true tents. The comparison to tents is, it's a whole different story. So using our 32-degree night, you're going to bring your three-season tent, one-person tent, right? So, because usually hammocks are single-person, one-person tent. What are you going to have? Your sleep system is everything, how to stay warm. So you're going to have your ground cloth. You're going to have your sleeping bag, but your sleeping pad is probably going to be much different, because now your sleeping pad is all about comfort, because a hammock provides that comfortability in a hammock, which a lot of hammock people love. And a tent, you know, you're sleeping on the ground. It's going to be hard ground, you know, so, you know, it's not going to be that, you know, it feels like I'm lying in bed. It's going to be it could be a rougher night's sleep. So your mattress pad is everything, and it's going to have to be, you know, there's a ton of them out there. If you want a good R value sleeping pad, you're going to drop some change. You know, you could drop, you know, easy $170 to $250 on a really good insulated sleeping pad. And so now it's all about your sleeping bag. It's the science within your tent. Your tent, however, gives you warmth. So it could be up to 7 degrees warmer inside your tent. So you're using your tent as an advantage. You're using that as a gear advantage. And, you know, it's, you know, you don't have to practice for, you know, 3 months out in the wilderness to learn how to set up your tent. It's going to be a much, much faster
learning curve, I would say.
Much faster learning curve. You're going to be able to set it up, break it down, and get on your way. There's not a lot of science behind it other than it's your sleeping bag and your sleeping pad. That's it. That's all the science there is. And so,
and we recently did a podcast all devoted to that, you know, on the importance of your sleeping pad.
Yeah.
And your sleeping bag. Absolutely. And the combo of those two.
Absolutely. And I know we just had one of our members on our Facebook community ask, you know, that question. You know, his wife was really cold and they changed sleeping bags and then she was fine. So that's also, you know, a lifestyle choice, a practice. You know, maybe, you know, you buy a sleeping bag and it's just doesn't work for you. So you bring it back and get another one. But that's really the two items. It's, you've got your sleeping pad that's going to give you the comfort of sleeping on the ground and keep you warm. So it's got to have a multi-purpose. And then your sleeping bag. What are the advantages of a tent?
Well, hands down, it's the most tried and true system out there. Tents have been around since forever, in whatever form. You know, the tent is a very basic setup. It's tried and true. And now with technology and design, you have so many different design options out there, you know, shapes, anything that you can think of. So you can really tailor a tent more to your precise specifications and needs than I would say you could a hammock.
Oh, absolutely. In general.
So hands down, that is, if you're very particular, that's a big one. You know, Scott already alluded to it, retaining your warmth value. You're cutting yourself off from that direct exposure, so you're more sheltered. You are within a tent 5 to 7 degrees warmer than you would be sleeping
in a hammock.
In a hammock, based off of cutting off that direct exposure to whatever elements that you're facing. Then, of course, let's say you can break up the weight. So let's say you're hiking with a partner, right? And you're sleeping in the same tent. You're carrying a two-person tent. You can break that tent up, which is always a wise idea in some form to be able to break that up so that somebody always, if, you know, if you're separate, I'm not going to go too much into that, but you can, for weight-specific comfort, you can break up the components of the tent and offer yourself a lighter load. So that's kind of an advantage there, but that's only if you're going with multiple people or, you know, with a partner. Huge for new backpackers, and this is something that I personally have not experienced from myself, but have watched so many of my own friends and people that I know go through this. You feel safer in a tent than you do exposed. There's almost this like this sense of security by being fully enclosed.
Well, if you don't it's not out there.
Out of sight, out of mind, out of reality, right. Which, you know, so there is that element. And I think that does play a huge role in the mental game of, you know, feeling comfortable going out there on your own. So that's kind of a big one, even though it's not applicable to everybody, I would say. But then, you know, a big one that I've also learned is you have more ability to spread your gear out in a tent thing and keeping it out of the elements. Everybody packs differently. Everybody likes to do things differently. And being in a tent offers you that space to be able to do that. And that's kind of a big thing for a lot of people. When you start asking around, you know, why do you enjoy the tent? Those are like some things you may not think about, but all plays into how do you backpack and how, what is your lifestyle like?
It's always a lifestyle.
It's always about lifestyle.
Gear always comes down to your lifestyle all the time.
And I would say hands down, those are big pluses for a tent. Your disadvantages, the setup is a little bit more challenging to perfect, I would say. So in a hammock, you can control that you have the same optimal type of sleep every single night in a hammock. With a tent, you know, you may have dense forest or rocky terrain. Uneven earth is a huge
factor.
Nothing
like a big protruding boulder sleep on your tent floor sticking into your back all night. Or my favorite, an unlevel ground. So
which is actually very common, more than you would think.
All the time. I can't even tell you how many times I've actually slid down my sleeping pad.
Oh, my God. It's so
frustrating. Until you showed me the trick.
Right.
That you know.
But
that I would just like, it was like every 10 minutes I'd have to get up and scoot myself back up.
Sleepless nights in a tent. Because when I was out on the Appalachian Trail, more often than not, I would probably say about 98% of my nights were on uneven ground. Because there is very little flat ground. You would think the Appalachian Trail, of all places, would have flat ground because it's so popular.
You mean those Appalachian mountains are not flat?
They are not.
Who thought that? Flat. That's so crazy.
You know, it is very challenging to find the perfect, optimal spot where
with a creek, just download it. Well, easy, I'm talking about terrain. Everything is all nice, and you know
the weather is ideal. Yeah, the clouds are perfect, it's and it's a starry nice, night. Yeah, yeah,
bluebirds in the morning time.
I'm talking more about terrain in general. And it can be very challenging. So tents, hand down, take a back seat. Just from that level alone of finding the most optimal flat ground without it being a pool to collect rainwater if it rains.
Well, that, right. And that's another huge advantage of the hammock. Doesn't have to worry about the flash flood that's coming down through your tent. And you're up level watching everyone scatter out of their tents like rats.
And
we've actually seen that before, by the way.
I've been involved in the
hammock guy was saying, how's that working out for you guys down there? So
I would say too that you probably have a little bit of longer breakdown with a tent. You know, Scott disagrees with me on this.
Well, I do, but I think that it all comes down to getting to know your gear. I think once you really get to know your gear, you could set up your hammock just as fast as anybody could set up a tent. But it's just when you get to that point where you know your sleep system so well that you could do it blindfolded.
True.
And that's really what it takes out there once you really get going, is really knowing how your sleep system works. So I think in the beginning for new people, it's all kind of an unknown a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I know for me, the hammock, it did, with a tent, you can go out there for a weekend and really not know that much, but you know, you're going to figure out how to pitch a tent. You're going to figure that out. With a hammock, you know, your biggest, you know, fear is like, what if this knot breaks? You know,
You come crashing to the ground.
And, you know, so I think there's, you know, the tent, you know, there's no fall variable in that. You know, with the hammock is like, you have to make sure you're not falling. So I think there's just different variables with each setup and learning how to do it. But in the end, once you get to know your sleep system, I mean, you know it like the back of your hand for sure. So what we did was we broke down the comparison cost of a one-person tent, and I used a super lightweight tent and a super lightweight hammock. So using that, using lightweight at 32 degrees is what I came up with. So the best one-person tent really for the weight would probably be whether you're going to do a weekend or a week or a long distance, like, doesn't really matter. I found the Big Agnes Copper Spur. It's the UL1, Ultralight 1. It's a one-person, three-season tent. It doesn't have the extra rain fly. So, and it's a freestanding tent. It's very easy to set up. 2 pounds, 2 ounces. That's with the poles and the whole tent. 2 pounds, 2 ounces. That's an awesome weight. But the footprint is 4 ounces, and the footprint's $60. Big Agnes, they get you. So you got to get the footprint. That's $60. So you're still under 3 pounds. So at two pounds, 6 ounces for your tent and for your ground cloth. Okay, that is just your shelter, just the shelter. That is assuming that you have an insulated pad that you're sleeping on and you have at least a 20 degree sleeping bag. If you know it's going to be 32 degrees at night, I'm assuming you've done your research and everyone knows it's going to get chilly that night, right?
I think you can reduce cost by making your own rain fly with lighter material, which I think we've alluded to.
Well, this Big Agnes, you don't need the rain. It's a single wall tent, and it's already got it. So now let's look at your hammock cost. So I picked the Hennessy Hammock Hyperlite Zip. This is a super, super lightweight hammock. It's got the zipper that you don't have to get in on the underneath the hammock. That's an older version. It just zips and you get into it and zip it back up. It's got the no-see-um mesh screen on there. Now when you get into hammocks, you start having to have variables that you have to meet. You have to meet, like, I guess, qualifications. One of them is you can't be over 6 feet tall.
Right. Length becomes a big factor.
And weight. So the Hennessy hammock has a height limit and a weight limit. It's 6 feet tall and 200 pounds. Now, they make another hammock that can hold a little bit more, but it's a little bit more costly, too. So this, so packed weight for a Hennessy hyperlight zip, 6 foot tall, 200 pounds. Pack weight is 1 pound, 12 ounces. So almost 2 pounds. So you're almost at the same amount of weight. You're like, wow, the hammock is actually less weight. But you've got to get the rainfly, and that's 8 ounces. So if you get the 10 by 12, just regular rainfly, you can get an Equinox tarp that's a 10 by 12, and that's going to cost you about $110, okay? And that weighs approximately 8 to 12 ounces, depending on how big you go. And then, of course, that is going to be about $259 if you add the rainfly. That's going to be a little bit more expensive than that. You might be up to about $359. So now you're in the winter. Now it's 32 degrees, right? You're going to need that underquilt. So I priced out the RE 30 degree underquilt, 800 fill, duck down. It's treated duck down, so it can get a little moisture in there, correct? And that underquilt weighs 1 pound, 10 ounces, and that's $150. So you can start seeing the added cost for the hammock if you're going to hammock when it's chilly outside.
Right. Again,
you're gonna cost need more gear. That's correct. And this is super ultralight gear, by the way.
And this is only one cost comparison. There's multiple scenarios out there for cost comparison. Relatively speaking, you are either equivalent in price or you are adding cost to a hammock setup.
That's
overall.
Right. Overall.
For going to keeping your weight.
Yep.
At an equivalent weight comparison to, you know, a lightweight tent, I would say.
Yeah.
And because you could go really cheap on it, on a hammock setup, really inexpensive, but you are paying for it in weight.
Well, true. I mean, you can buy a bug net hammock, you know, that's really just Nilsea mesh for very little money at REI, but that limits you as far as versatility in the wintertime. In the wintertime, you are still going to have to buy then the underquilt. You're still going to have to buy your mattress pad is going to have to be a different kind of setup. You're still going to have to buy the rainfly. And then how big do you go compared to, you know, price and weight? So you really have a couple weight factors that you have to look at as far as gear items for your sleep system. You've got your underquilt, and you've got your rain tarp, and now you've got your hammock. So in the tent, you really kind of have, you know, three. You've got your tent, you've got your sleeping pad, and you got your sleeping bag. So in the hammock, we're assuming you're going to bring a sleeping bag. We're assuming that. So if it was going to be 32 degrees that night, you had a 30 degree underquilt and you brought a 20 degree bag, sleeping bag, you're gonna probably be pretty warm. Again, though, even if you bring a down sleeping bag, the down underneath your bag is going to be irrelevant because you are compressing it so much in that hammock. It's going to be irrelevant. So this is a pro tip that I'm going to give you to stay warmer in a hammock without having to spend a ton of money on a sleeping pad. The pro tip is just get a regular Therm-a-Rest ridge rest. Just a really foam, it's a foam pad. They sell them everywhere. It's just the ridge rest made by Therm-a-Rest. It's just like a yoga foam pad.
Yeah, very simple, very cost effective.
Go buy a roll of Reflectix. Okay, we know that really well. So buy a roll of Reflectix, buy the smaller roll, take the Reflectix and wrap it around the Therm-a-Rest ridge rest all the way around. You can, you know, tape it, you can sew it, cinch it, just wrap that around there. Put that in your hammock with the same conditions. You've got your underquilt, you've got your sleeping bag, but now you're using a foam pad which is a great insulator for a hammock. And you've got your Reflectix. Now, the Reflectix only has an R value of 1. You're thinking, well, that's not much insulation. You're not using it for the R value. You're using it that your body heat is shooting out. So you're really taking your heat, and the Reflectix absorbs the heat. It absorbs it. It acts as a conductor. And so the bottom of your body, and the most important place to keep warm, obviously, is your midsection. And when you go camping, it's always your midsection. That's where all the blood is. You keep your midsection warm, your extremities are going to be warm. So the Reflectix, what that does is it just kind of almost reflects the heat back up into you so it doesn't go out, and the Reflectix absorbs the heat. That's a cheap, easy pro tip to really stay warmer when it gets down to, you know, 32 degrees, maybe a little below. I think 20 degrees, you're probably going to get a thicker foam pad in there probably. But at the 32 degree level, that is a great, great insulator, and it's extremely cheap to make, and it's a great do-it-yourself project for your
warmth gear. On a budget.
Oh, absolutely. I've used it 100 times. It absolutely will keep you warmer in a hammock situation.
Also, to keep your pad in place, which we have alluded to a couple times, a pro tip I picked up along the way is I got a non-slip outdoor rug mat. And I know that sounds crazy. You're like, oh my God, you're adding gear, you're adding weight, but not really. You need a very minimal amount. Now, when I first started, I cut it to the size of my sleeping pad, and I very quickly learned that I did not need that much, surface space on it. I just needed a little bit to be able to keep my sleeping pad in place. A little bit, you know, kind of around my feet area, and a little bit right under my hip area. And if you can just cover that area in a little section, and everybody sleeps differently, so it's going to adjust to your sleep habits. But it's extremely lightweight. It offers airflow because it's gridded out. You know, it's just a rubberized, very, very thin material, and it's extremely easy to clean.
You'll never slide off your pad again.
Never.
Ever. I've never, my mattress pad has never shot out to the left or right side of me. And I can't even tell you how many times I've woken up on the ground with my pad over on the side, right? Because we tarp it. We, you know, my sleeping pad's been outside of the tarp before. And when Ariane showed me that, I've never, ever had a problem again with that.
Right. And it's
so brilliant.
Why, thank you. It's one of those things where it's, and this is going to get a little bit cheesy for a second, but I started using it because out of necessity, but now Scott and I use it and we put it in between our two pads to keep our pads closer together. So on cold nights, we are actually sleeping closer together, and there's nothing like, you know, waking up in the early morning and just being able to roll and turn your face and say good morning to your partner. And so that's been a big advantage for us.
That's right after
little sap.
That's right. That's right after your dog comes and kisses me in the lips and puts her tongue in my mouth. But
so
yeah,
again,
it's a great way to wake up.
So again, those you know, one more pro tip is try and purchase gear that's versatile to your lifestyle. I will tell you, hands down, most people that hammock camp also ground camp in a tent. It's normal to bounce back and forth between the two. Now, Scott and I, like he said, we actually tarp it, so we're not doing necessarily either. We're doing a variable of the ground camping, and that's just based out of our lifestyle. So what fits your lifestyle? There's, you know, for instance, you know, I moved away from hammock camping when Scott and I started dating and wanted to be, there's nothing like just waking up next to somebody. And my dog hates the hammock. She right. won't stay in it.
Right.
She wants to sleep on my body. And it just became a natural you know, way to go. When I first got here 5 years ago, I started moving more towards the tent aspect of things.
Yeah, and I think
so. It's all about your lifestyle.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. The debate between hammocks and tents is this: there is no debate. It's what you want. It's based on your lifestyle out there and what you feel comfortable with. If you feel comfortable in a hammock and you've figured out a way to stay warm, and that's good, man, do the hammock. If you have figured out a way to, if you love your tent and you're happy with your tent, do your tent. I think the key here is that, you know, you have to be comfortable with it, and it's okay to change out gear depending on where you're going to go. Do we always use the tarp? No. Do we use a tent? Yes. Do we use a hammock?
Absolutely. Yes.
So it really is, there's no one way that's better than the other. It's really going to be up to you to go out there, test your gear, be willing to buy something, test it, and be willing to take it back. You know, and say, well, this didn't work for me. You know, and then try something else. That's very common in the backpacking world. People do it all the time. That's why Ariane and I have such a big gear closet.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. But we have, excuse me, we have our go-to gear that, depending on where we're going to go, that's the gear we grab. And so if we're going to go, you know, hiking, you know, like I know hammockforums.net, they go down to, I forgot that place in North Carolina, but they all hammock on a slope. There's no level ground. And so they just all hammock in the woods. There's no place to pitch your tent.
Question one, where are you going?
Yep, absolutely.
Two, how long are you going to be there? And is weight important to you? All factors that come in deciding what your option is going to be for that particular outing.
So there really is no debate. The debate has
been debunked.
Yeah, there is no debate. It's really that piece of gear that fits for you. So anyway, you guys, thank you so much for listening. We really super appreciate that. Hope we gave you some value today. You can, if you enjoy this podcast, please give it a review on iTunes and help us get our podcast out and spread the word. We always love to know how we're doing. So write us a review. That would be great. Shouts to our new Facebook members and our Patreon members, Rick, Jerry, Shirley, Chuck, and John Phillips. We really super appreciate you guys joining our Patreon page. Our podcasts are available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, and now on Radio Public, both for iOS and Android. And remember, in the meantime,
trust the trail.
Bye, guys.
Bye.